some departing instructions from Jesus that we're going to look at. Anybody ever go on a trip? Anybody ever go on a trip and leave somebody behind? And you had to give them some departing instructions. I remember the first time. I'm going to switch mics. First time that my parents went on a trip and they left me home, I thought I was in charge. My sisters didn't. But they left me home. I had my driver's license. And they're going to be gone. They say, okay, now, if we die, the checkbook is in the brake front, in this drawer. You go, first thing you do, if you hear we're in the hospital, if you hear there's something wrong, the first thing you do is you go to the bank and you take all the money out of the bank. I'm like, huh? I live in a weird family. And why would you do such a thing? Because the bank account gets frozen if they die. And us kids would have nothing to live off of. So my first instructions was to go steal all their money. Yeah. So we've all been on trips and we've left instructions. I've gone on trips and I've left instructions. I would like you to do this. I'd like this done. Do this, this, and this. Most of the time, my instructions aren't followed quite as well as I'd like. Most of the time, when I was left instructions as a child, I didn't follow all the instructions necessarily to the letter. Now, I praise God, I never had to go use the number one instruction, which is go to the bank and clean it out. But I do remember the instructions. I know what I was told to do, and I did try to get the things that I was at the top of the list done before they got home. Particularly things like, make sure the dishes are done, the trash is out, the house has been cleaned up. Why? Why would that concern me? Because if I didn't, I knew they would be unhappy upon their return. And I didn't want my parents unhappy on their return. Why? Because I was all concerned about their joy? No, because I knew if they were unhappy, I would become unhappy. With all of that said, let's take a look at Jesus' last instructions to us. We're going to look at the Gospel of Acts, or Gospel of Acts, the book of Acts, written by Luke, says, in my former book, Theophilus, this was the friend of his that he was writing to, and the former book is the Gospel of Luke. So I sometimes have confused a few people by saying Luke 2 or 2nd Luke, you know, when I refer to the Gospel of Acts. There's no Luke 2! This is it. That's what I'm talking about. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Notice, he gave instructions. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said, is not for you to worry about the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Let's pray. Father God, we come before you right now and we give you praise. Lord, we thank you that you indeed are Lord. And you are Lord over death. You are the resurrected Lord, the risen Lord, who is now at the right hand of the Father. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us fresh each day through your word. And we just ask right now that you would speak to us anew through your word today. And Lord, use me to preach your word with power. Be present here in your word, in this preaching, this morning, this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I've got a short checklist. Jesus didn't give us a long checklist. Our departure for instructions, you're kind of looking, where's these instructions we were given? As I read this part here, I see 3 points that Jesus made, which is kind of great for pastors and sermons. But so I'm sure it's, you know, divinely ordained that we have this 3-point checklist. But departing instructions checklist, checklist number one. Do not leave until powered. How many of you make sure that you got your phone charged before you leave? Come on. You charge that phone before you go. You get home, what's the first thing you do when you get back? You plug it in. You get in the car to go somewhere. You plug it in. Why? Heaven forbid the phone should not have power. Oh, we can't be without power. Don't leave until it's powered. Bruce, I'm down to 1 bar. Donna speaking to me, in case you were wondering. She's got one of those power-sucking phones. Smartphone. An Android. And it just drains power out of the thing. I got mine, usually, and today I have left my phone on my desk. Where? Plugged into the charger. So that when I leave here, my power is full. I can sometimes go a couple days with that phone without draining it because it doesn't have all the apps. Well, quite frankly, Donna's probably the more spiritual strong of the two of us. She sees a lot more into the spiritual world than I do, so it's kind of appropriate that her phone would be more spiritually powerful in this spiritual application. But we're not to leave until powered. You wouldn't think about leaving with your phone unpowered. Why do we think that we're going to go out and do God's ministry without His empowerment? Really? Seriously? We try to do it in our own strength and power. We got dead battery. No bar. Well, we'll do it anyways. I'll get a string and a can and we'll figure it out and we'll try to run that thing back to to Orlando so I can talk to Chris and Ashley on the phone. That ain't going to work. Any power. I can't even call Ed's house with a string and a can. That's too far. I might be able to get across the property line to Josie next door, but I'm not getting across the street there. And even if I did, they'd get Card come over and break the string. There's cars up and down that street all the time. So the departing instruction, first thing he tells them, power up. Charge up. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait until you've been empowered. Don't go running off too early. Okay. Checklist number two, point two, is don't worry about timing. This one's really, really, really hard for me. Yesterday was God teaching me this. Oh, I was going absolutely nuts yesterday at the prayer breakfast. Why? Because the timing wasn't perfect. We were having technical difficulties with the sound equipment. And if you weren't at the prayer breakfast yesterday, you missed it. It was awesome. It was good. Yep. Seriously. Okay. But now, here's the deal. It was running late. It was running long. It started late before it started. And then when we got done, they kept talking. It was good stuff, but then going on. And it's like, you know, I'm on a tight schedule. My day yesterday. First off, Don and I were at the College of Prayer, Wisconsin campus, which is having a module this weekend in St. Croix Falls. It's not even quite an hour's drive to St. Croix Falls, but it's just too far to be shuttling back and forth for stuff. Except that's what we decided to do for Friday. We finished there Friday night. We got done, you know, it was about 9:45 when we left, and we headed home and got home, and, you know, by 11 o'clock, we were in bed. We got home and went right to bed. Why? Because we had prayer breakfast the next morning, 8 a.m. So, now it starts at 8 a.m. I knew I had to be there early to set up, so I was there at 7:30. And I could see things weren't looking good. There was having problems with the sound system. I went up and talked to Dan Adler, who did the worship. How's it going? Well, praying for a sound check. But when they got up to actually do worship, they had never had a sound check. Now, if you know worship people at all, that would absolutely drive them bonkers. Okay? But we all had to just not worry about the timing. I'm just like, okay, Lord, just take it away from me. Take away with the worry. I kept trying to pick that one up. And then it was my job to try to get things back on track because I was supposed to introduce the speakers. And, you know, Dan had more songs to do. Like, sorry, I had to stand up. They still had another song to go that they wanted to do. But they'd already gone a half hour, and we started a half hour late. And, you know, we're trying to catch up some time. We can't have everybody go longer. So we went to the next group, the next guy, and I introduced him. And Roland Wells, he, wonderful message. He's supposed to go a half hour, and he went 45 minutes. And then he was going to take questions, and I said, no. I got up. I'm like, no, introduce the next guy. I said, okay, 5 minutes. He went 10. And we get all done, and we're a good half hour over, and I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, ready to get out the door. And I'm right. How many of you know Phil Cohen? He's former mayor of Brooklyn Center. He's Jewish. He is not a Christian believer, but for some odd reason, he likes me. He calls me his rabbi. He asked me to pray, give the invocation at his birthday party a couple years ago when he turned 80. And he wants me to do his funeral. Okay? This is the relationship I have with Phil. I'm working on it, just trying to be Jesus to get that out. What's the timing here on this, Lord? Phil wanted to meet Roland. Phil was talking to Diane Sanis. Diane Sanis is a wonderful woman in the community who is a very, very much a community activist. But she will talk for a long time. And she was talking to Roland. Phil and Diane don't get along. For whatever reason. They don't see eye to eye. No one Phil's this tall and Diane's this tall. They just don't get along. So Phil did not want to intrude on her time or her space. I want you to introduce me. But he didn't want me to push in. And no, we're going to wait. So I'm like, okay. I'm checking and waiting. Finally, Diane was done with what she was asking for. And somebody else went in to talk to Phil. Or talk to Roland. And I'm like, oh, you know, but just talk for a second and then was able to introduce them. And Phil was just moving, just was really, said, on it, just had hit it on the head. We need to get our seniors involved. They need to see that we've got a changing community. That the world has come to our where we are right now. You can't expect it to be the way it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's just not that way. It's like, Rollins just like, yeah, you know, this is Phil. And I got the timing. Some of us walk around going, Lord, are you coming back tomorrow? Do you want me to do this? When? And God's saying, okay, you don't worry about the timing. I'll take care of the timing. When I tell you to go, go. But just be ready. The timing is mine. So this is not for you to worry about the date or the time. That's not our job. It's not my job. Why do I keep trying to do it then? I don't think I'm the only one. So, we are not to worry about dates and times. Checkpoint number 3. You will be my witnesses. Please note, it's not a question. It's not even a command. This is stated as a fact. Very much when you get a summons from a judge to be a witness in a trial, and that's who it comes from, even though it may come from the defense or the prosecution who've asked you to be the witness, it's the judge who issues it and says, signs off on it and says, you are going to testify. And you have no choice in the matter. Okay? If you are a witness to something, to a crime, you don't have a choice. When the judge says you're going to talk about it, you're going to talk about it. You don't get to say, I don't want to say anything. That's not the way it works. It says, Jesus is telling us, just laying it out as a fact, you are my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You are witnesses. Tell them this is what you're going to do. So this is the instruction list. Don't leave until you're powered. Don't worry about the timing. Oh, and just so you know, you're going to be a witness. This is a heads up, people. Now the question is, we can be a good witness or we can be a bad witness. You know what bad witness is? Somebody who gets in the witness box and can't get their story straight. They don't know the facts of the case. You know, weren't you there? Well, yeah, but, you know, I had my eyes closed. You know, I was, you know, cleaning my toenails. Whatever. Well, didn't you have this conversation with somebody? Yeah, they talked to me. I don't remember. That's a bad witness. Okay? We don't want to be that witness. Have you met Jesus? Yes, I met Jesus. You would not believe what he did in my life. He has done this, this, and this. That's a good witness. You know what else is a bad witness? You're a grumpy person. You never smile. You don't say hi. I thought you were a Christian.
I am.
Okay. Bad witness. You are a witness. People are going to recognize and say, aren't you one of those Christian people? Aren't you one of those followers of Jesus? Peter said, no, not me. Even that was a witness of, I don't want to be associated with that. Now, do we want to be associated with Jesus? Yes, we do. Jesus tells us three things that we need to do. Last minute, the most important things we need to be ready to do as we go out the door. Don't leave until we're powered up. We need to get with the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about the timing. God's got that under control. It's going to happen when He wants it to happen in His timing. Three, you're a witness. You are a witness. So, do your best to be a good one. He doesn't add that, I add that, but the fact is, why else would He tell him? When I was leaving, or not when I was leaving, but when my parents were leaving, I'd say, now, you know, the neighbors will see what's going on. Yeah, we know, Mom. Yeah, we know, Dad. Others see you. So He's just reminding us. Others are going to see you. And you're attached to my name. That's what Jesus is concerned about as He's leading off. And just as my parents told us those things which were of most crucial importance to them before He left, Jesus has given us this list of what's most important for us to remember. Get empowered. Don't worry about the timing. And you're a witness. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You this morning, this afternoon now. And we thank You that You didn't give us a long list that we needed to learn. And that we are Yours. Father, help us right now to walk in Your empowerment, to not worry about Your timing, recognize that You've got it handled. And help us, Lord, to be good witnesses of Your gospel message and not poor witnesses. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.